Welcome back to Gino Afternoon, which is made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. And our next guest is here to preview her fireside lecture tonight at the Mendenhall Visitor Center, where she was a naturalist for many years before she just recently retired. Title of the talk is Bear 153 at the Visitor Center, A Life Well Known. Lori Craig, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. And this sounds like a really interesting thing. I think we maybe have all seen Bear 153 at one point or another.
Well, now, here is the trick.
Okay.
At the beginning of my program, I show all the bears that 153 is not.
Is not. So maybe I just thought it was 153.
Everybody loves Nikki, the cinnamon-colored reddish bear. She's Nikki because she has a nick in her ear, and she's actually number 25. So I go through the list of ear tags about who 153 is not. And I love Nikki. She's absolutely amazing. She has had 8 litters of cubs at the visitor center, 15 cubs,
wow.
An amazing mother. And this 153, but has a more interesting story.
So
it's one of those.
It kind of grew up around that area, is that
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so 153 got a tag as a little cub. And 153 was designated first as one of 2 little boy cubs. And their mom gave them some bad habits in the neighborhood, so they had to be removed. They were hauled out to the end of the road. They were given an ear tag. The mother was given a tag and a collar. That collar allowed Fish and Game to track where she went. Now, little cubs, they're tiny guys. They're the size of a small dog, puppy. And she managed –
super cute.
Oh, they are
so
cute.
Yeah, ridiculous cute.
They managed to do 3 trips between Ock Bay and the end of the road that first summer.
This was the family itself.
This
while
was the
still
family, the mother with the 2 little cubs.
And now, is there a
marathon? We don't know why.
Just following food, or we really have no idea why. But
we don't. All we do is we have little dots on a map, and I will show a map of what they did in the year 2007 when they first got there. When mother first got her collar, she had it on for the part of the next year also, and. So you see the difference between the 2 years. Now, what's interesting is black bears have their cubs right about now. So most bears are born at the end of January, early February, and the mother keeps them with her for about 18 months. So the middle of the second summer, she boots them out. And it's one of the hardest things to watch. It's like taking a 12-year-old child and saying, you're on your own. Figure out how to do your laundry, cook your meals, and get back and forth to school.
So they're born while they're denning.
Yes.
They're born in the den, tiny little –
like less than a pound.
Little tiny
kittens.
Things.
They're kind of not too much hair. They're blind. The ears are all folded in.
And they just kind of hang out there in the den for a couple of months and nurse.
Right.
And this is why female bears, especially when they're pregnant, are really bulking up, right? They're really getting –
they are.
Yeah, right.
And you know, the story of pregnant bears is a really fascinating one because mating is in June, July, but – what they end up with is a blastocyst. They end up with a fertilized egg. But if she hasn't done enough of that bulking up in the course of the summer and the fall, that egg, that fertilized egg, will not implant in the uterine wall. So she won't have babies. So this rumor about being a little bit pregnant, if you're a bear, you can be
you
a little bit pregnant.
You can be a little bit pregnant.
And
wow.
If you've done the right thing through the winter and fall, which is, you know, really porking on that food, they should have gone to Chad's. But we don't want them to eat human food.
No.
It was very interesting listening to him talk about how wonderful everything was.
Yeah.
Nature provides everything the bears need completely, especially in this wonderful, luxurious climate that we have.
Now, it's really interesting to know that they did those trips back and forth and back and forth. It's
right.
Multiple mile trips. Is there evidence that mother bears, when they have cubs that young, are traveling or doing something a little different than they normally would?
Yeah. So the bears that we normally watch out at the glacier when they have cubs, they don't travel that far. First of all, you got these little guys. They can climb up and down vertically really well. They scramble up trees. But climbing over the rough terrain is not that easy. Just think about what it's like for us to hike in the woods. If we're not on a trail, you're going to fall in a hole.
A lot of expense of energy and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
So it's a very intriguing story. So for many years, this little boy bear who had started out being kind of a garbage bear was one we regarded in a different manner. It's like, I'm going to watch this guy because is he going to be good or not? He had a rap as a garbage bear potentially.
Mm-hmm.
What those collars and tags tell us is that a bear may get into garbage, but for a very brief amount of time. There's no reason to condemn them to a life of bad habits, and that they can go straight. They can be wild bears. So we watched this young male by himself for a number of years, through his juvenile years, through playing and learning how to be a bear, learning how to get along with everybody else. Then all of a sudden in 2013, Bear 153 with its very distinctive blue ear tag showed up with two cubs.
It's wow.
Like, oops, I guess he wasn't a bear. He wasn't,
he wasn't a boy.
He wasn't a boy.
He was a she, okay.
He was a she.
All right.
And she has gone on to have, you know, it's one of these stories like, but wait, there's more.
Uh-huh.
And every other year she's had cubs, including 2017 when she had four. That was the year that the visitor center hosted BBC's Wild Alaska Live. And she and the cubs were just stars.
She became an international wildlife superstar.
And the cubs are just, as you say, they're just
right.
So cute.
And that was the first year of those cubs? So they were just
that
little
was,
puffballs? Or?
That was, yes. It was the first year of those
yeah.
cubs. It was her third set of cubs.
Okay.
And so I will be telling the story because that ear tag allows us to identify Bear 153, we know her story. And I keep track of everything that happens, especially with the bears. I make a map every day that there's bears, and a different color magic marker, a little pen, shows where the bears went, what their routes are. And that's something I've done for 9 years while I was working as a visitor center, because I felt that information at some point would be good to know. And it does turn out to be very handy to know where the bears go, what routes they use, and what we need to protect to be sure that they can continue doing what they do.
The time of the year that they're really kind of able to be viewed the most, I'm guessing it's around the time of the salmon runs that were happening there at the visitor center.
Right. So yeah. The sockeye come in the third week of July. But what we've found over time is as the bears are comfortable being around all these people because we keep this safe distance and our behavior is careful around them, they show up in May. And they'll go to the same places to eat the grass because they know the people aren't going to bother them. And so we do get to see bears throughout the entire summer. We just have to be careful about how we behave and how we drive. You know, drive slowly because you may see a bear proceed across the road, but she may have three tiny little cubs that come darting out right after her. So it takes the whole community to make this work and people to be in great about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So she – does she now have a set of – was that set of cubs that was the four cub? What happened there? Was that the last 2 years? Is that like
that
the last set?
That was in 2017.
Okay. So – and then she raised them for 2 years as
yeah.
they typically
in
do.
In the middle of the summer of 2018, she kicked them out.
So
she's by herself.
Is it possible that she's pregnant again and maybe denning and
yeah.
that's the next thing to maybe see if
that's
she's
right.
alone or if she's got another set of cubs?
My bet would be that she'll have more cubs.
And where is she mixing with the male bears? And where is that happening? And when's that happening?
A lot of that happens. So that typically happens in June and July.
Okay.
What we have seen in the way of evidence is it happens sometimes high up in the mountains. Bear courtship is fascinating to watch. It's very tender. It's very playful. I mean, this is the courtship part of the getting to
sure.
know you. And they glide down the snow and they frolic and play. But then every once in a while, there's a little real action right there
they
in the middle
together.
Of the visitor center.
Oh, there
and,
you go.
Yeah. And then you get to explain what's happening.
That's the most awkward part of the naturalist job. But fascinating as well, I'm sure.
That's right.
So does it happen? Does that happen? That happens. Does she kind of kick the book cubs out first? And then she's got a couple of month period to.
You know, we haven't quite witnessed that
yeah.
exactly when that happens. And some bears are quite different, but they do want to get the cubs out of the way at that point. Well, they're yearlings.
Because they don't want them around male bears as much, right?
That's
and that's
right.
kind of be a dangerous situation
exactly.
for yearlings.
Exactly. So they get rid
right.
of them. Occasionally, those yearlings will come back and hang out with their mom. With 153, her 2.5-year-old cub came back when she had a new cub. And so she had kind of a built in nanny.
Oh,
so
wow.
she's off – mother is off foraging, and here's this nanny teaching the cub how to be
– Adult bears, yeah.
How to be a trickster.
yeah. Now tell me about the lecture itself. I think you're taking a little bit of a different approach with this lecture. You're working in some of your artistic talent. You're a wonderful artist as well, and so maybe you're bringing that in as well. Is that right?
You know, what I find as an artist is trying to sometimes keep things straight. And I'm a dyslexic artist, so I think that really helps with the kind of art that I do. But it also helps me tell a story. So I drew a picture of her whole life. It's kind of like the genealogy of what happened, and that helped me straighten it out in my mind. And I had done one of those for Nikki the Bear, a picture of her and her different cubs so that I could keep track of these eight litters because they get confused. And it's sort of like having to remember your social security number. I have to go back to the beginning right. and conjugate the verb, you know, every year.
It's in a certain row or else you forget. Yeah. Right.
So I did a picture of 153 as she was with her cubs. And that's part of my story tonight.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. Well, is there I think, you know, as a naturalist or people who are biologists, naturalists, it's important, I think, that thing of not overly anthropomorphizing the subjects, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you must get an emotional attachment to these animals,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And, you know, technically as a naturalist is an interpreter. We're interpreting all these scientific facts. And one of the things we are taught is you want to make an emotional connection between the visitor and the resource. So if you manage to tell this story of a bear's life and let them observe it, what they'll see is that bear and its behavior and its relationship with its cubs is very much like humans. They can be very tender. They can be playful. If the kid's a pill, it gets swatted. And if we can put ourselves in that situation with a wild animal, maybe we can respect them more, understand them more, and treat them better. And that's my whole goal, is how do we coexist with these amazing animals that live in the forest with us and occasionally walk through the neighborhood. And if we're careful, you know, we keep the dog on the leash, we take the barbecue in, we take the garbage in.
Keep the bird feeders away.
Take the bird feeders away.
Yeah, sure, all that stuff we know to do.
And then you get to watch these little cubs play in your backyard just like we love to do. So it's a pretty amazing relationship. We can all do it better.
Well, you'll be talking about it tonight, 6:30 and 8 o'clock.
That's right.
Two different times. Always let people know to get there early for these fireside lectures. They are sellouts, and there's standing room only typically at both of these. I'm sure there will be tonight. Title of this one is Bear 153 at the Visitor Center, A Life Well Known, from the retired naturalist, Lori Craig. Lori, thanks so much for letting us know all about what you're going to be talking about, and have a great, great lecture tonight. It's going to be great,
I'm
sure.
And that's wonderful. And it is a sellout crowd, but it's free.
Yes, that's right. It's a sellout, but it's free. That's right. So it should be really fun. Lori, thanks so much, and have a great, great lecture tonight.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
Coming up next, here's Bird Note.
This is Bird Note.